In today's episode, Angela assigns the blame, JJ likes the Shark Man, Mike reads the reviews, and I just want to know how tall Andy Richter is. This is Cabin Boy.
Cannot believe that we had to watch that.
Oh no, no! I can believe you had to watch it. I picked that movie because we all love all things Tim Burton, and he produced that movie. He was supposed to direct it, by the way.
Tim Burton?
Yeah, he was the
Tim Burton. You said?
Yep.
Yes.
Good old Timothy B.
I'll tell you what, but why don't we get started with this episode of Fun Sphere Movie Club by introducing ourselves, including our lovely guest. Returning for how many episodes you've been on now? Maybe a half dozen?
All of them. My name is Mike.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent. Okay. Well, I'm Josh. And JJ.
Do you want to buy a monkey?
Excellent question. Excellent question. And then we rounded off with our own little cabin boy himself, Michael.
Yo, fancy lad.
Yep. Fancy boy.
Fancy boy. All right, and today we are talking about 1994's, so same year as our previous episode, Cabin Boy, which is a fantasy comedy film directed by Adam Resnick, co-produced by Tim Burton, as JJ mentioned earlier, and starring comedian Chris Elliott. Elliot co-wrote the film with Resnick. The plot involves Nathaniel Mayweather, a snobbish, self-centered, arrogant, virginal, fancy lad, and his after graduation, his mix-up of trying to sail to Hawaii, and the adventures he has trying to write this, and the life it makes him have afterwards. Okay. So, Angela shakes her head disapprovingly, and this is a JJ suggestion for us. So, we got a JJ double feature.
Yep, yep.
This time around. So, JJ, tell us how you became familiar with this film.
Oh, thoughts on it. So, yeah, I watched this movie a lot when I was younger. And I think it was just something I just stumbled across. I don't know if it was on TV. I didn't go to the theaters to watch it. I know that. And I don't know if I watched Get a Life, because that was only one season as well. But this movie was on TV once, and I watched it, recorded it on my VHS, and then kept it and watched it all the time. I don't know why. It was just I think this movie and maybe Good Burger movies that I watched way too many times when I was younger. And I just had a copy of it.
I could have gotten behind Good Burger.
I think we all can, but Cabin Boy, based on all of the movies that we picked, I felt was a great transition from a Tim Burton kind of, you know, I mean, yeah, the beginning, the fish in the credits, it's great. It's so good, Angela. No?
I did like the feature of David Letterman.
Yes.
Yeah, so my takeaway of this movie is... I love everyone in it, and I hate this movie. It seemed like the entire thing was produced on Letterman's stage.
Yeah, I think your quote was, turd of a movie that...
Yes!
Like, the backdrops are so bad in this movie.
All right, so I'll ask...
Like, I'm sure they didn't have that great of a budget, but Jesus Christ.
You want to know? They had a $10 million budget.
No. Where did they just pocket all the money?
It went to the espresso to kill the snowman. or whatever that thing was. Yeah.
Yeah, the Iceman. Yeah, so just budget, surprising no one, not a successful film, made $3.7 million at the box office.
It's successful here, Josh, right here in the heart.
Yes, it is. Okay, all right.
Yeah, the entire movie I was like, who am I blaming for my evening that this is what it is now? Like, which one of you is your fault? And he said JJ, and I was like, okay, that tracks.
I wish he just would have said Josh, and you pick which one.
I mean, a J name, there's only, you know, so many to choose from here.
And it's true, and to be fair, I very well could have suggested this film. Although, I will say right now, I'm not sure I actually watched this film prior to watching it last night. Because I could swear I'd seen it before, but I was utterly convinced in my head that this film took place in the 1700s, like the 1800s. So like when he gets in the car, I was like, what the hell is this? I was like, Wait, no, this isn't the film I saw. I was like, so I either convinced myself a long time ago that the trailer was the film, because I vividly remember this trailer, and I vividly remember the movie poster. And I'm fairly confident, or at least I was, that I had even seen this in the theater, that like five of the $3.7 million it made was mine. But now watching it again, I was like, there's a whole lot of this movie I don't remember at all. And literally had the time frame of the movie, the concept of the movie, completely removed from my brain. Because
yeah, I just assumed that the time period was supposed to be intentionally ambiguous for jokes.
Yeah. And I also think for the like the films that they're kind of spoofing, like the old pirate adventure stuff, like those would have been set during the late 1700s, early 1800s. So, and even like with him acting like the fancy school lad, I was like, that still tracks for that time period. So I was really thrown off when all of a sudden there was a limo and, you know, the microwave and stuff.
And a
like
microwave.
That. Yeah. Okay, I'm also going to mention the other thing that really threw me off, and this literally took up a good deal of mind space with me, and I had to do research and things like that. How tall is Andy Richter? Because I think
he's pretty tall because Conan is really tall.
So I thought he was a small little guy compared, you know, I seen him on Arrested Development when he's playing all his twins and stuff like that. And I'd seen him on Conan. And I was like, oh, he's probably like 5'8", 5'10", something like that. No, he's 6'1". So seeing him in this film and he's like towering over certain people, I'm like, whoa, hold on. Because Chris Elliott was taller than David Letterman, and I'd seen Letterman in person. So I knew Letterman was not all that, wasn't the tallest dude, but he wasn't like super short or anything. And I was like, but Andy Richter's taller than Chris Elliott. I was like, are they doing this like as a bit or something like that? I was like, is he on stilts or something the whole time?
Especially because when I was like, doing the hip dance, right?
Yes. I was like, one, I was like, it also, I didn't recognize him as Andy Richter right away. I was like, man, that guy looks a lot and sounds a lot like Andy Richter. And then I was like, oh, wait, it is Andy Richter. And then, like I said, I got into that whole tangent of how tall is Andy Richter for me. And that, I literally was stuck on the first part of the film. Like, I missed huge plot points because I was just Googling how tall Andy Richter is compared to other people. So,
how did you survive without those plot points? I mean, the whole movie hinged on those.
I think I figured it out along the end. I did have to rewind and go back a couple of times, Angela. I'll admit that. I really did.
We only rewound and paused when Dr. Jacoby showed up as Sharkman.
Yeah. Sharkman's so good. I don't know why you all didn't like Sharkman. It's everything about this.
It was disturbing, his origin story. Yeah. I mean, they literally just stopped short of, yeah, this Viking and a shark went and F. Yeah. And then there he is, Sharkman, who just happens to live forever since Vikings. Like,
yeah, it's between Vikings and microwaves. We don't know what that time period is, but you know.
Well, and he's nice to people until he turns on them.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
That's the shark part. But then he never turns on him.
And I thought it was such a 90s afterthought that he went, and you're assuming that he's probably attracted to men this whole time as a fancy lad or whatever. And then all of a sudden, the most beautiful girl ever, who's sleeping while floating, yeah, off the side of the ship, goes, and that strikes his fancy. I'm just kind of like, you know, that's so 90s though, because they're still battling that whole stigma. So of course they wouldn't go full into it, but
yeah.
A little let down.
Although they do make a couple of jokes about, like, I remember one time he's talking to Brian Doyle Murray's character, and he's like, why must we hide our feelings?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that Ricky Lake was the
boat. Yeah,
lady at the mast.
Was she?
Yeah. Yeah, she's the figurehead on the boat. This movie has a strange, bizarre cast.
And let's keep going. Yeah. We love it. Angela, yes. We think it's the best thing ever. It's no Dakota. If you know, you know. but, you know, it's good.
Yeah, especially like, you know, think about it. How many times have you ever seen David Letterman in a film?
That one movie.
Once.
I was going to say, this might be my first, yeah.
And he actually played that up for a long time, that this is like his starring role was in this film, Cabin Boy. So, other thing I got to say.
Well, he had because Chris Elliott was a regular on his show.
Yeah, he was a
and
writer.
A writer for several years, too. Which, I got confused. I thought Chris Elliott was an SNL guy, but he's not, apparently.
He was on SNL.
He was. And his daughter was, too.
How long?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Interesting. Are they the first father-daughters combo that's been on SNL? Because I know the brothers have been done, because Brian Doyle Murray and Bill Murray, of course, are brothers, and they both have been there. And was the youngest brother of the Murray brothers on SNL as well?
No, I don't think so. Unless he was in the no-no years.
Oh, okay.
80 through 85.
But the Murrays both hosted.
No, they were
Actual cast members? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. And then,
I was going to say, if you watch the 50th anniversary, they got a good joke, because Bill Murray was doing like the countdown of the top 10 hosts, and he put his brother as number one over Colin Quinn, so that was really funny, and implied that his brother was married to Scarlett Johansson instead. Yeah, it was really funny, and he picked the right number two of putting it as Norm Macdonald as the best Weekend Update host. Yeah. So that was right. Okay. So I think we've got a split room here. JJ loves the film.
Yep.
I like it. And then, of course, Mike and Angela are the dissenters in this discussion.
I have to say that it was such a struggle not to completely zone out and disassociate on my phone while watching this movie. I don't know what my aversion was, but it just made this rage inside.
Rage.
But I have to say, rage. I was like, I did not want to watch. But I do have to say, this breaking it down afterwards has been very enjoyable. The best part of the movie.
If you knew that you didn't have that much money to spend, why did you set such a... Or why did you choose to make, like, the set...
I think
such a hard thing. Like, okay, we don't have that much money. Let's make a movie about being on the ocean.
So I think, go ahead, Josh. Sorry.
Go ahead, JJ.
So yeah, I think that Tim Burton was supposed to direct all of it. And what ended up happening was that he got his fantasy project for Ed Wood. And so he left that and just became a producer on that, and then gave Chris Elliott all control of the movie. And you can see, don't nod your heads, because it was beautiful. He made it from his heart, and $10 million.
It looks like it was made in a garage.
I'm going to say this.
It looks like elementary school kids made a movie.
I think that the answer is more, this was someone trying to do a Tim Burton movie that was not Tim Burton, but still keep it Tim Burton-esque.
Yeah, for sure.
As a design. So, like, that's why I totally, you know, they were ripping on old pirate movies, like the, you know, the cabin boy becomes a swashbuckling hero. Like, that's how Chris Elliott kind of, the change in his dress, especially in the last part, is supposed to reference, you know, you had the stop motion animation fight like you would have had on the old, like, Jason and the Argonauts films and stuff like that. So I think this was someone trying their best to crib Burton style, and I don't think Burton would have directed it any differently, to be quite honest, as far as like the special effects and stuff like that. No way, especially during this time.
He did make the cupcake.
It's a little weird to hear Winnie the Pooh's voice coming out of the cupcake.
Yeah.
Or Darkwing Duck, if you prefer. Jim Cummings, yes. It was especially weird.
I'm pretty sure they spent $4 million. What was the budget again? Five?
$10 million.
Ten, okay. They spent $8 million on water alone. Like, it was just millions of dollars of water, and that was the budget.
Probably
so.
1.5 on wigs.
That too.
I was gonna say, it's just like, but again, that's that old school film thing. Like, you could have totally tell the sailing adventure films of the 50s were filmed on a soundstage just like this was. I think that's,
yeah, but they looked a lot better.
Well, yeah, because they were older. And the camera wasn't as good as it was now. It's. Again, I think it's steering into that instead of, like, it's not a hindrance of the film. It's literally like we're trying to mimic these old films. So we're genuinely trying to do that, and we're making it the same way they would have made those films.
I think what the Jays are implying is that we are uncultured and do not appreciate art.
Well, I can tell you.
Yeah, let me tell you, all of those guys gave Oscar-worthy performances.
Do You Want to Buy a Monkey was a bit for the Oscars. They had all the celebrities holding that monkey saying, do you want to buy? So it made it to the Oscars, but not the way I would have liked.
For water use alone.
So I'll say this, as someone that has known you guys for a long time, Angela, I'm not going to say you're not having an artistic bent and you have a excellent idea for art as a whole. Michael, on the other hand, not so much. He's basically just a Philistine. Yep.
Let's see what the critical reviews are.
Well, I'm over here looking at the...
not great.
Yeah. Yeah, if you want to know the truth, stay away from that. That's all lies.
Okay.
It has 2 zeros.
Okay, so I'm reading about this. So Chris Elliott earned a Razzie nomination for Worst New Star, but lost to Anna Nicole Smith for Naked Gun 33 and a third.
Rest in peace.
The film was nominated for Worst Picture at the 1994 Stinkers Bad Movie Awards.
Yeah, but who is the Stinkers Bad Movie Awards? You know,
so here's where it gets personally injuring. But lost to North, a movie I actually really like.
Elijah Wood.
Yes.
Okay, so the New York Times said all this is bizarre without being funny.
Ooh. Brutal.
San Francisco Chronicle says, it is possible to watch 90 minutes of this comedy without once cracking a smile.
Wait.
Variety said, obnoxious, snide, and pointless. This ill-fated spoof carries the bonus as being crude and gamey as the hold of an old fishing barge.
This movie's a comedy?
I did like the name. I did like the name of the ship.
The Filthy Whore.
Yeah, the Filthy Whore.
The Filthy Whore, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you know, it's funny now, thinking about it, that because I watched this about, what, 4 weeks ago, I think, and I don't think I laughed at all, but I don't. Maybe I was eating a snack and really enjoyed the snacks. So maybe that was the thing I enjoyed the most about it.
That's definitely it. Uh-huh.
But it's still good. Okay.
I agree. I agree totally. And I'm going to ask this. Angela and Mike, was there ever a point in the film you did not laugh? Not like, I'm just saying that literally there was no joke that even made you chuckle just a little bit.
There was a lot that fell flat. There was only like one or two instances that I laughed genuinely, and I struggled to remember what they were.
Okay.
I laughed when they made a joke about the, like, the filthy whore.
Yeah.
They did something like, oh, the filthy whore, and I was like, but might have been as hard as I laughed.
Okay.
Most of it, I would have to say, was most of my reactions were more like, huh? Or what? Or maybe it was a shock and awe film, okay, but never a laugh.
Or an eye-rolling film.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
That too.
Man.
My eyeballs got quite the workout.
I'm sorry that I put you all through that, man. I felt that this would...
Oh, don't worry. I will get my revenge.
So, I got to say, Mike, I am genuinely surprised that you don't like this film because you have such a unique taste in comedy. Like, you love Tim and Eric stuff. You love, what's that, Nathan Fielder guy.
For you.
I was like, this is right up that alley.
It didn't hit the things that I felt like they were trying to hit. Like, it wasn't intentional enough. Cause there's some humor where like try hard kind of humor.
Yeah.
But there's an intent there that makes it work. And I feel like that was never that, and it was never like it definitely wasn't a witty movie. It wasn't a I don't know. It didn't fit in any of the boxes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That I would consider.
No, not I.
Like good comedy.
I see that 100%. Like if you compare it to, say, Pee-wee's Big Adventure, you know, you've got this 30-year-old guy looking for his bike, and you just go along for the ride, and you're like, this is actually really good because, is he a kid? Nah, he's a grown man, you know. But this, like, the fancy lad, whatever, fancy lad school, got to go back. And I think Tim Burton could have made it a little better, but I don't.
I think that if Tim did it, it wouldn't have
made it any differently, though, right?
I do think he would have made it differently.
I think it would have.
I think that like Chris Elliott tries to sell all these different jokes in the same way, and I think that Tim probably would have directed him to maybe not land some stuff as hard and maybe go harder into other punchlines.
I'm going to toss this one out there. I think that Nathan Lane would have been a better cast as the fancy boy.
Apparently, it was always a Chris Elliott vehicle, which is something strange. And actually, Burton reached out to Elliott about the film. That's what I'm reading here.
I mean, again, I really like Chris Elliott and his, I don't want to say discography, but,
yeah,
you know, like,
yeah,
the majority of his output I enjoy. Everybody that was in this movie I loved. I think this is the first instance of me seeing something with so many of my favorite people, and I hate it. It's such a bizarre feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a friend of yours recommended it. That, like, that's where it's really...
Well, it seems like it does have a huge cult following, and I don't understand it.
Yeah.
I think that if I were at least 5 more beers in, I probably would have laughed a little bit.
At least at 5
well,
more.
At one point in the movie, I turned to Angela and I was like, "You know, if anything, I should enjoy this more." Because I've spent the past month playing Dredge.
Yeah. And maybe that's it. Maybe your expectations were so high. You know, this movie, it made its way into rap. You know, like what, Dan the Automator? He changed his name to Nathaniel Merriweather with Handsome Boy Modeling School. He has an album called Do You Want to Buy a Monkey? You know, like, this is great. This movie has so much impact on, you know, current things. Current things, whatever that's supposed to mean, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he even named his publishing company Sharkman Music.
There you go.
Yeah.
Dan the Automator.
I have to say,
he did Gorillaz, by the way. That was like one of his big things.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Gorillaz. Clint
Eastwood. The first album.
So I was a little disappointed. The first joke that I thought could really land was when he asked for beef bouillon, and Annie Richter's character's looking. He's like, maybe that's a fancy word for chum.
Yeah.
And then literally nothing happened. Like, he gave it, and I was expecting something to happen, like a spit take, something, and nothing happened. And I was kind of like,
wasn't that subverting your expectations? Isn't that the joke?
Is it the joke, though? Because that means the entire movie. Like, well, I was expecting to laugh and nothing happened.
I'm willing to say that's 24 minutes into the movie at that point. So they didn't hit anything. Because I thought the choir, like, by the time they pan to him and he's singing all out of key, like,
yeah,
I was crying laughing. I don't know why that was so funny to me. No, not at all. Why is a 39-year-old in school? He can't be a fancy lad.
They all had facial hair.
Yeah, but
or like the jokes. I like the first one. He's talking about the hat. He's like, This is owned only in museums and by rich young men with enormous penises. his teacher's rolling his eyes. Like, and they do a good job. He's like, this guy's an asshole. Right from the beginning, too, especially all the stuff.
And how many different names did David Letterman call him? Like,
I have a feeling that was not scripted. That was probably just Letterman just film him. He's going to just roll with these these names and these descriptions and all the stuff like that. He's like, I bet you are hungry. You know, big girls and stuff like that. Have big appetites.
So bad.
Yes.
Oh, man.
So
all while trying to hawk his sock monkey.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, I feel bad, y'all, that you're not going to get that hour and 30 minutes back, but...
I'm not. I think it's great.
I mean, it's always an experience.
Hey, Mike still owes us for Weatherman, okay?
So I enjoyed Weatherman. I enjoyed Weatherman.
Weatherman was great. Yeah,
Weatherman was fine.
It still pisses me off to this day.
I'm not willing to call it great, but it was fine.
Well, I think I'd rank this above Weatherman.
Ooh.
Well, are y'all willing to hear what your punishment's going to be?
Yeah.
Bring it.
Because I'm going to choose. I'm inviting myself to the podcast next time.
Okay.
Gotcha.
And I'm going to choose a double feature.
A double feature. Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's right.
Okay.
To stick with the Tim Burton theme and the dark themes, really, nothing to do actually with Tim Burton. But, you know, speaking of him, I was thinking Twilight, the movie of vampires and werewolves.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It is based on novels. So if you guys would like to read those novels, I fully recommend. But really, Twilight is the epitome of good, terrible movies.
You sadistic bitch. I'm just kidding.
Twilight is so bad that it's good.
Yeah.
I read all the books and was kind of like, fine, whatever. And then my friend in college, in my heyday, so I probably was 5 beers in at this point, we were watching and I was kind of like, what is happening? And this is so bad, but we are laughing so hard. So yeah, I like everyone to enjoy this.
Okay. Well, what's the second?
Yeah, what's the second one?
Film of the dub. Yeah.
The second movie.
I'm not mad at. I read the first Twilight book. Elle was reading and watching it, and I've seen, I think, all the movies. Maybe.
I was going to go different, but no, I think Twilight 1 and 2 Ooh. Is the perfect punishment.
You can go different if you want.
No. Because the second one is where it really gets good.
Which one does he call her a spider monkey?
The first one.
Hop on my back.
There's just
Hang
three,
on tight,
right?
Spider monkey. There's 4. All right. The third one is broken into 2. So once you start watching the first 2, you probably should watch the last other 2. Because I have to say, the very last one, Mike was totally invested and was like, what's going on? And then they throw their little...
Don't spoil
it. I know, but it was his reaction to all of it. I think he actually really enjoyed them. And then we can talk about our trip to Forks. It was actually Seattle, and we went to see King Gizzard. But you have to go through Forks to go to the Olympic National Park.
Okay. Well, I'm not scared, so I'll give you that. I'm not worried.
Good. Don't be scared. You're going to enjoy it.
Oh, I'm sure.
Josh already owns them.
I'm going to put myself.
Yeah, joke's on you. I got them all.
Yeah, lifts his shirt up. Twilight tattooed right on his belly. I'm going to put myself through the Jacob workout. And then our next podcast, I'm going to be ripped. No one's going to be able to see it, so you don't know if it's true or not, but I'm going to be really strong.
You know, I always thought about as someone with tattoos, that if I ever got my stomach tattooed, I was like, is it going to be Thug Life or is it going to be Twilight? I mean, and I could never honestly come up with a decision there, so I just had to avoid it entirely.
Well, after these films, I need you to report back on whose team you're on. Culturally, it was a phenomenon that everyone's like Team Edward, Team Jacob, you know, Team whomever. But yeah, so you will have to report back on that.
Okay. I'm going to give you just a little spoiler. I have several anecdotes about these films. So I'm ready anytime you are, lady. Anytime.
And I think you should go with Twilight. Right on the belly.
Twihard.
Twihard with a vengeance.
Oh, all poor right. Cabin boy takes a back seat to Twilight.
No. So I think it's good that we had a split room on the film. I did not expect it to honestly cut the way it did, except until I saw Mike's text about it.
It's a bummer that Samantha's not here. She could have been the
tiebreaker.
Yeah. But then she said that Skid
loves
the movie.
Yeah.
I think she would have been pro cabin boy.
Well, at this point, he's a cabin man. Let's give him his
true.
Respect. Yeah,
he's a cabin lad.
The pipes are clean. That's how he became the cabin man.
Sure. That actually may have been when Mike laughed when they talked about cleaning pipes.
Mostly because it completely went over Angela's head.
Yeah.
She didn't know what they were talking about.
I just remember that scene, like where he comes out of the cave and like has the light behind him, he's like, these pipes are clean. They use that all the time in the trailer, and like I remember seeing that on television. Just because they were like advertising the movie, it was using the advertisement.
Yeah. So what are you getting into? You know, 94, you see a cabin boy on a pirate, and then coming out, the pipes are clean. Yeah, I don't know what they were trying to get, but.
But again, that also just adds to my confusion about whether or not I had actually seen the film before, because I still remember it being like an old-timey like pirate movie, but I'm completely wrong. So I don't know. I don't know what reality is anymore. Maybe
I've
been
brainstorming. It was an old-timey fever dream.
I think, you know what? So with this said, and because of the great response from pirate-themed movies, I'm only going pirate movies for the rest of this year, y'all. So I'm sorry. I've got three or four on deck now. And
I'm going to guess it's going to be Time Pirates.
There's Ice Pirates. There's
Ice Pirates.
Yeah. The pirate movie. I've got a lot on standby here. I'm sorry, guys, but, you know.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, those are good.
But only like the third one. It's going to be the one that's not good.
Goonies?
Technically, yes. The Goonies, I guess, is a pirate movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I can't
believe Life Aquatic?
Yeah.
Ooh.
We've already done that one, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying pirate movies.
What's the Tom Hanks one where he goes, look
captain
at me.
Captain Phillips.
I am your captain now.
Captain Phillips.
Yeah.
That is
Hook?
Modern.
Hook.
Ooh, Hook.
Hook is good.
I don't think
I always wanted to be a part of that dinner scene. And then I realized as an adult that they're imagining eating food. It's not real food at all. Mm-hmm. And they're starving. And I said, oh, never mind.
Well, we may have to save that conversation when we actually watch it.
When we actually watch
it. Again, I really like that movie. Okay. Well, does anybody have any other closing thoughts about Cabin Boy? Besides, it's an amazing film.
Stay away.
I'm sorry, that cut out there, Mike. It really did.
Oh, I said stay away.
I disagree.
Yeah.
I think you should jump in wholeheartedly.
I think we all should get together and watch it again. Maybe see if they'll show it at the theaters.
Maybe we...
I'll need a ride.
So I'm not going to lie to you. I've read that the second viewing of the film is much better.
We can make it a drinking game where we take shots every time we don't laugh at a joke.
You just got to watch it in a liquor store then, most likely.
It's a short walk. We can host.
We'll just watch it in the ER because we'll be all admitted with alcohol poisoning.
It'll be cabin dead.
We can get some saline bags.
I'll laugh. Maybe.
I think I would laugh.
I think actually that we'd be trying so hard not to laugh in order to drink that we'd end up laughing, and so then none
of
us would
be.
Yeah, we'd be sober because we'd be laughing so hard.
Well, we'll have to wait. Maybe we'll do Cabin Boy Revisited in a year or so, or something like that. That'd be fun. See if we can't change some certain people's minds.
Yeah, what'll happen is all of our minds will change, so you guys will go around to hating them.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Well, I guess we'll have to wait and find out next time, folks. We're going to say goodbye here. Bye.
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 Pipes are clean.